A lot of these kids, they're still kids. And that's why I've always stressed that discipline is education.
And one of my dear friends said to me, you know what? I think we need financial literacy in the schools.
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community. In this segment, we take you into Georgia schools to learn more about legislation to help improve the lives of students and teachers. Joining me is Republican Senator Chuck Payne of Dalton. He chairs the Senate Committee on Veterans, Military, and Homeland Security. He is vice chair of both the Education and Youth and Science and Technology Committees. Also here is Democratic Representative Miriam Parris of Macon. Her committees include Appropriations, Education, and Economic Development and Tourism. Welcome to Lawmakers to both of you. First-timers here.
Yes, we are.
Well, I'm going to make you feel good. You'll want to come back, okay? So we're going to start with you, Chairman Payne. SB 557 says student discipline policies can no longer be waived by school systems. So let's talk about the problems that led to this legislation.
Well, the problems are school climate ratings and understanding that, you know, this discipline is education. And we're neglecting that discipline. I was a juvenile probation officer for 30 years, and the behavior of kids is not always systemic of who they are or their ability to learn. And so it's just to make sure that we're giving these kids that have those behavioral issues or had them in the past, literally not plagued in the classroom, and be able to advance their education.
Yeah, because of your background, you felt some kind of personal, this was personal for you, making sure you take care of these kids so they don't end up with you as a juvenile.
Well, for 30 years as a state juvenile probation officer, I just literally had a passion for kids, no matter, you know, in understanding where they came from. And I was always the one that would, if someone's angry, I would always look for the thorn in the paw. You know, what's causing this? Where is it coming from? And a lot of those kids, you know, if you start looking at their background and you start looking where they've come from, it's just a cry out for help. And so we should not hold those when they have behavioral issues against them in their climate rating for schools.
Okay. We'll get into details in a second. Representative Parris, you are a co-sponsor of a bill, and it's Chairman Bill Yurta's bill. But it is a bill that passed on crossover day that would expand financial literacy education in Georgia. So what led to that bill?
So, you know, a lot of our ideas come from the grassroots, right? A lot of times you have citizens that come up and speak to us about various bills, things that they feel like need to happen in Georgia. And one of my dear friends said to me, you know what? I think we need financial literacy in the schools. The economy is changing, currency is changing at a rapid rate. Children don't see us spending money cash. They see cards, they see phones and such. And so I just really thought that it was a great idea. And I introduced HB 674 last year. We did get a hearing on it, but we didn't get, you know, get to crossover day. So when I spoke with Chairman Irwin, who's the education chair, he spoke to me about Chairman Yurta's bill, which was HB 1114. And he asked that we merge the two because Chairman Yurta's bill was dealing with financial literacy for high schoolers. But I felt like we need to get to children when they're very young, right? Because if you talk to a little five-year-old and you've got six pennies in one hand and a dime in another hand, you ask them, which one do you want? They're going to say the six pennies, right?
Right.
Because they don't know that a dime is two nickels, it's 10 pennies and such. So I just really thought that it would be something that we could do for the children to make it where their financial lives would be much easier.
And you're right. They don't see coins meant much at
right,
all,
right.
And pretty soon they won't even know what pennies
That's
are.
That's right, they will not.
They won't have a clue what they are. Right. It's amazing to think about that.
Yes.
All right, Chairman Payne, let's get back to 557, which would allow teachers or school employees who are victims of physical violence by a student or a parent to transfer to another school in the district. So tell us about this.
Yeah, it's making sure that if a teacher's been assaulted or threatened in the classroom, that they, if they feel like it's to the point where they feel unsafe and they should not be in an unsafe work environment, that allows them the opportunity to transfer or change locations without any penalties or being held against them for leaving that classroom.
It's a shame it's at that point. Yeah,
it really is. But at the same time, you know, like I said, a lot of these kids, they're still kids. And that's why I've always stressed that discipline is education. And that's the one element that I, as a juvenile probation officer, I told people, I was not a formal educator, but I was an educator. My discipline that I was teaching for 30 years was a cornerstone of all education, and that's self-discipline.
Yeah. So your bill has passed over into the House. Or where is it right now?
Right now, the bill is still in committee.
Still in committee.
And so it didn't make it out before crossover, but we're hoping to maybe look at somewhere we can move it down the line.
We're always talking about how these bills will show up somewhere else. So
yes,
we'll
ma'am.
We'll keep up with that
That's the sausage making contract.
That's the sausage making. Yes, sir. Let's talk about your bill, what it specifically would do when it comes to financial literacy.
So, like I said, Chairman Yurter's bill was dealing with from 8th grade to 12th, and I really felt like we needed to expand that or widen the scope of it, right, starting in 1st grade. However, we were able to get kindergarten.
Wow.
Yeah, and match all the way up to his 8th grade bill. So now it would go from kindergarten throughout high school. They'll be learning about financial literacy. You know, it's better when we teach a man to fish than to give him one, right? So for me, if I had had the financial literacy taught to me when I was young, I think I'd be doing a lot of different things right now. I'm grateful for what I'm doing right now, don't get me wrong. But it's just important, you know, money. When you think about money, you think about the word currency. You know, that's something that's always moving. And if we don't have a clear understanding of that, then this is what runs people into financial ruin, right? It runs them into bankruptcy. It runs them into just all kinds of various negative situations within their family. One of the main reasons for a divorce is finances and the misplacement of those things, you know. So I really feel like it's an important bill for generations to come. We want them to have a better shot at life than we've had, and I'm thinking that financial literacy is a big part of that.
It'll be lifelong learning for them.
Yes.
There's things they'll keep with them. Well, thank you for that. Well, Chairman Payne, in the Senate, you're carrying a bill that would put 17-year-olds in the juvenile court system, but this is a bill that passed in the House, and you're carrying it in the House. On behalf of the late Representative Mandy Ballinger, who passed away last year. And I spoke to Representative Camp earlier today, who is actually sponsoring this bill. So let's hear from her.
HB 1061 is the Mandy Ballinger Act. And what it does is it creates the organizational committee required to raising the age. So 17-year-olds can be processed in the juvenile court system for nonviolent offenses. So that's pretty much what the whole bill does. We haven't changed any code sections yet because there are a lot of mechanics. Transportation is a mechanic we've got to work out. Do we have capacity at our youth detention centers? Do we have the right programs in place for 17-year-olds as far as job training or getting their GEDs? And also kind of retooling the way that we've done it for a long time. But this is the way it's done in 45 other states successfully, and I'm looking forward to Georgia being the 46th.
She did fight for it for a long time. What was different this year?
Well, this year I think it made a big difference to people knowing how much it meant to Chairman Ballinger. But I think separating out the code change and the organizational aspect, we were able to get a number of organizations on board, or at least neutral, that in the past had been objectionable. And I think that helped a great deal. We have a wonderful sponsor that's going to be carrying it in the Senate. I have full faith that Chairman Payne is going to get it through judiciary. So I'm feeling very
Well, we want to thank Representative Beth Camp for that, because she really, really had a personal relationship also with Representative Mandy Ballinger. So tell us a little bit more about the bill.
Well, this bill it's a great bill because it establishes 12 parameter entities in state government and in the courts and education that basically gives them a date just to get it done by, and gets those 12 entities to sit down and look at how we can make this successful in the transition from moving these kids. And if I can talk just a little bit about why it's important, it's because for 30 years as a juvenile probation officer, these 17-year-olds that are getting prosecuted and charged in Superior Court, when they're really not of age to have full understanding of the law and what their choices have been, and we're prosecuting these kids, and it's something that's on their record forever. And just, you know, and to me, it's just giving these kids the opportunity to understand that they're not fully developed 17 years old. And my case in point of that is I tell 17-year-olds, if you get charged with a crime at 17, you get your court date and you will stand before a jury of your peers. No, it's not a jury of your peers, because you're not old enough to serve on that jury. And there is and lies the reason why those kids should not be prosecuted as adults, because they're not old enough of age to know the consequences of their choices.
Wow. So when you say that a group has to get together, that was one of the tough things that Representative Ballinger had, trying to get all the different resources that help these students, these children. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, if I can just run over the list.
Yeah.
It's the chairperson of the House Committee on Judiciary Juvenile, the chairperson of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the commissioner of the Juvenile Justice or his or her designee, the president of the Georgia Sheriff's Association, the executive director of the Administrative Office of the Courts, the executive director of the Prosecuting Attorneys Council, the executive director of the Georgia Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, the executive director of the Criminal Justice Coordinator Council, the director of the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget, the president of the Council of Juvenile Court Judges, and the executive director of the Association of County Commissioners of Georgia. And it's just to bring those entities to the table and see, you know, what can we do to keep these kids from, especially those minor that are not major, still have the what we call the seven deadly sins, the ones that anybody over the age of 13 is going to be charged and prosecuted as an adult. But at least this gives the opportunity to take those minor ones back off and pull them back into the juvenile court, so we're not literally giving these kids a record before they've even gotten out of the gate.
Yeah, so this is finally a chance. And it was unanimous. You voted for this in the House.
I did vote for it. I thought that the bill was hitting all of the right notes. It takes into account the nonviolent crimes. And when you think about 17-year-olds, their brains have not even fully developed at that point to make critical decisions, right? And so it's somewhat unjust of us to hold them to that high of a standard. They are children, and they are still being very impressed by their peers, and we need to take those things into account before we just send them, you know, down the road that will eventually prove to be more detriment to them than it would good.
Yeah, I think the main thing is what you said about them not being able to have a jury of their peers, because
there's a reason they're not of age to serve on that jury, and that is the very same reason they're not of age to know the consequences of their choices and decisions.
Okay, well, we will be keeping up with this bill and let people know. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
You made it through it, huh? It was okay.
Oh, well.
All righty.
Yeah.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.